Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we're glad you're tuned in. Geez, Bob, we're almost at the end of February. I think because we got 29 days, we'll have one more show in February. But this is the Grilling Guys. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And what do you want to talk about today, Bob?
Hey, steaks are always in style, buddy.
Aren't they? My favorite thing on the grill, bar none. Lots of different ways to do them, and maybe we'll cover a little bit of that today.
We're definitely going to cover a lot of things, steak, and even some kind of a steak that is going to make you freak.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
A freaky steak?
Uh-huh.
That must be later in the show,
a couple
huh?
of them. Segment four, yeah, we're going to throw some sliders.
There's some
your
words
way.
On this show plan that I have no idea
good.
What they mean.
Good, that's my goal
yeah,
every week.
I understand,
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It is the smokiest show on the airwaves. We are the Grilling Guys. You can see us at thegrillingguys.com. You can hit us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. Guess what? Grilling Guy.
Yeah, exactly. So this last week, I took a little trip to Illinois, went down to watch Lisa's son play hockey. Man, I've been watching college hockey here in West Michigan. She's got two kids, and the younger one is a captain of this Davenport University team. Good hockey, very good hockey. I watch it. I'm enjoying that. I go down to see the elder son, and he's a professional hockey player. And the difference in the game was amazing because I've not been a hockey fan until I became a Lisa fan, right? And so I'm learning this, watching it, and I'm thinking I'm seeing great hockey at the college level, which I am. Davenport's top 10 in the nation in their division. Great team. But I go down and watch these next level or probably two levels up players that are pros. They do this for a living.
A couple years older.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The passing was just snap, snap, snap.
Trying to get in with the Red Wings, stuff like that. Kind of a farm team, second-tier farm team.
Right. Yep.
Waiting to go to the first tier.
Right, yeah.
And then maybe get a look by a major.
Right, yep. So it's amazing the skill level of these guys. And while I was there, we had an opportunity to spend a little minute with him. And this is the life of a 26-year-old hockey player that plays, you know what.
Does he have all his teeth?
Well, yes, he does. I don't think they're all natural.
So he's not that good at
hockey
player.
No, I don't think they're all natural. But the other thing, this is where I was going with it, is we meet him for lunch. And we're talking, getting to know each other a little bit. And he's like, I've had three broken noses this season. I'm like, wow. He had two with a puck and one with a stick. I'm like, well, I said, you ever had those before? He goes, no, just this season, three of them. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then he held his right hand up and he's got a broken pinky finger. And but he's been playing through it, right? Because he didn't want to miss any games.
Right.
And so we get done with lunch, great lunch. We watch the game that night. Got a high stick, broke his nose a fourth time, just blood everywhere. It was a mess. But, yeah, I mean, that's the life of a hockey player, man. You're physical, really physical game. I'd never watched a lot
like
of hockey.
Like a wrestler with cauliflower ears.
I guess, yeah. Same thing, man. It just happens. But so I went down there, and then when we came back, this is getting to steak, okay? Just trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Hang with me. I come back, and I pull into the garage, and I got a little beer fridge in there and this thing called a steak ager. And you and I had bought whole prime ribs, evidently on January 17th, because I wheel in and I see that refrigerator and it dawns on me, I've got a piece of meat in there. And it was exactly 1 month that had been in the aging. And so I pulled it out, and I'll save the rest of the story for later in the show. But I want to talk to you about this 1 month aged steak in this unit called a steak ager, because it's something that I think the average guy can do and might want to try.
Well, good. Let's do that in the next segment because I got a bunch of boring stuff written down here. I got to tell you, I want to brag about one of our good friends, Thermapen. And I told you last week that they're just great to use. You hit them on the Grilling Guys on the right-hand side. You'll see all our sponsors with links. Now, if you hit Thermapen, that link will take you to what's on sale, and you get a $20 coupon. So I hope my daughter's not listening, but I bought her for her Emily her for her birthday an MX4 ThermoPen.
Okay. Yep.
They're $99.
Right.
I got it for $80.
Yeah.
Shipped in 3 days. I mean, it was at my house in 3 days.
Right.
$20 less than Amazon. Thank you, Amazon.
Right.
So go right to thegrillingguys.com.
And if you don't know what a ThermoPen is, it's a digital thermometer.
If you don't know what it is, this is the first time you've listened to this
right.
show.
But you need one of that. I would say that's the first tool that a serious griller should get is a digital thermometer, because the number one issue we all deal with is overcooking things on the grill. You've got variable heat, you've got wind this time of year, you've got cold temperatures, and your equipment performs different every time you use it. Mm-hmm. So that right. ThermoPen is the consistent thing
you
to see where
you're
meeting.
You get to be dependent
is.
On it, don't you?
Right.
I mean, I used to just eyeball everything.
Right.
And then when that chicken shows up with a little bloody joint or
right.
or that steak is a little overcooked, and you know, because every cut of steak is going to take a different feel.
Right.
So that can fool you, even no matter how good you think you are.
Right.
So Maggie went down to Emily's for Emily's birthday, which was last Monday, and they had a nice surprise party for her and everything, and she brought that with her.
Oh.
And so I asked Emily, I said, now, every time you get a ThermoPen in the mail, they send you a bag of jelly beans. Did you like them? She goes, where's the jelly beans? And I hear Maggie in the background. Oops. It's a cool little thing. They send you a little bag of jelly. I don't know why.
Right.
But that thing showed up. I didn't think it was there. I emailed them like Thursday because Maggie was going to leave that night flying down. And I said, where's my ThermoPen? And she sends me an email back within 3 minutes. Now it's, I think, Friday morning at 5 a.m. I'm an early bird. Somebody tracked it down and said it was delivered to your mailbox. I went down the driveway. It's strapped to the top of my mailbox. Son
strapped
of a gun.
To the
it came.
Top, it wouldn't go
well,
in?
We have an enclosure around our mailbox, you know, a fancy right. little house neighbor built. And so it was like wedged in at the top because it wouldn't fit in the mailbox.
Right.
But that, 3 minutes, and she gave me absolute pinpoint accuracy, like a heat-seeking missile.
Right.
It was very good. Did some Wagyu. We talked about Wagyu a couple weeks in a row, that Sobey hooked me up with. And
well, what is Wagyu first?
Well, it's like a Kobe beef. It's sort of an Americanized version of Kobe beef. But they have Wagyu in Japan too. So I don't know. It's a cow that they massage and they feed it beer and play Led Zeppelin to it.
God damn, that sounds like any grilling guy I know.
Minus the massage.
Well, I don't know about that. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I cooked them on my Tech Infrared. I got my new plates on. There's a video on our Facebook page, I believe, and it shows that steak. And I'm telling you, they were an inch and a half thick, and that's what I served for the day after Valentine, because Valentine Day just didn't work. It was too late, and we don't like eating, you know, 8 o'clock
right,
at night, right?
Yep.
But the other thing I wanted to tell you is we have made a switch over to brown rice.
Okay.
And my wife's kicking and dragging all the way. She loves her white rice. Good Lebanese girl, you know, they use white rice and everything. But here's a little thing on brown rice, why you need it. The health benefits are due to the way it's prepared. And this is from the World Health Foundation. I don't want to read it all. But the long and the short of it is it contains three parts of the grain kernel, the outer fiber-filled layer called bran, and the nutrient-rich core called germ. And then the starchy middle layer called endosperm. You'll like that part. According to Harvard, the outer is inedible. It's a hull. It's removed. But white rice is refined, and so they've taken the bran and the germ out of it, and basically you're just getting starchy filler.
Right.
So brown rice, check it out. All right. 45 minutes, baby.
Coming up next, you might turn a boring steak into a great steak. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. This is Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumbers and Standard's Kitchen Studios.
Easy for you to say.
Not so much, is it? Anyway, we're talking a little bit about steak and the variety of styles that are out there. And
geez, Jop, you'd think if you worked at a place, you'd be able to say it after several years.
I understand, but I get so excited when I talk about it, right? So
that's standard.
Right.
Turn a boring steak into a great steak. Let's finish your steak ager story and tell me when I get to grill them.
Right. Well, you don't these because they've been grilled.
Oh, you pig.
Yeah. But so this Bob and I, back evidently on the 17th of January, we bought whole loins, and I put mine in what's called a steak ager, which is a little unit that is about 13 inches wide and about 12 inches tall. And it's got a little blower on. It's a box with two shelves in it and a door. And there's a little infrared blue light in there and a blower. And what it's designed to do is to age your steak in a controlled environment. So you slide this box into your refrigerator, and it's best used in a refrigerator that you never open the door, because then it keeps constant temperature, and this blue light will kill the bacteria. And the drying process happens because of the little fan. So I'm dry aging steak is what I'm doing. The best restaurants all over the world do this. And I've got this. You can find this thing online. They're not a sponsor. I'm not endorsing this. I just have one of these things. It's called a steak ager.
They didn't send it to you for free to do a review?
No, they did not.
Gosh, you blew it.
But steakager.com is what it is. But anyway, so I get back from the hockey thing last weekend. And I realized this piece of steak's been in there since 17th of January. It's a month. It's been in there. So I pull it out, and it is shrunk down. I think it was like 6 or 7 pounds when I got it. It's probably at 5 now or 4.5. I got 6 nice 1-inch steaks out of it, so put it that way. But anyway, where I'm going is that this thing comes out, and there's a hard crust. It's not moldy or anything like that. It's just a hard crust on the outside. And while it's sitting there, it's a standing prime, right? No bones. I slice off the left end and I slice off the right end about 1/4 inch to get the hard, crusty stuff off there.
Yep.
Okay. Then I cut it into steaks, lay them flat, and I go around the perimeter with a paring knife to get it off the perimeter of each of the steaks.
Right.
So I'm left with 6 nice,
ribeye.
A ribeye. Thank you. Couldn't come up with the word there. So I got 6 nice ribeyes. Now, so I throw them on the grill, and I cook them to medium rare on a hot charcoal grill. But earlier in the segment, you said temperature and feel are different based on the steak that you have.
And aging.
Right. When you dry this, this becomes very firm, okay? It's taken a lot of the moisture out of it, dry aging, i.e., but it concentrates the flavors. So when I put this on the grill, my normal touch with the tongs, you can do it, I can do it. I've cooked thousands of steaks on the grill. You can feel when it's at about medium rare, the give starts to give, stop a little bit, it gets a little more firm. These were firm on the grill as soon as I put them there.
Now, let me ask you, did you pull them out a couple hours in advance?
Oh, yeah. Brought them to room temperature. They were at room temperature, absolutely.
That'll soften them up, too.
Yeah, but not a lot. I mean, it's still, when this dry aging, it gets firm. My point is, I used the ThermoPen all throughout this cook, and it was 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I had a hot lump charcoal fire, and there were 4 of them on there, and I grilled the 4 of them up. Everybody wanted a medium rare that we were eating with, so But I used the ThermoPen because I couldn't tell.
Right.
And they were dark colored.
So
when
how'd you like the meat?
Oh, it was wonderful. It's a little earthy.
Yeah.
Is what I want to
gamey.
Say. Yeah, not too bad, but yeah. It's definitely got a different feel. It's almost mushroomy or a little musty, maybe.
That is exactly how it's going to be.
Right.
When you age it, but any kind of a steak.
But the other thing with cooking them was it's dark colored. It gets a dark mahogany
like
color.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's really tough to look at it and see if it's done. But again, the ThermoPen brought them to 125.
Would
in
you
the
do
summer.
It again?
I would, absolutely. You know,
because that was a cheap piece of meat.
Right.
Mea culpa. I bought those at Family Fair.
Right.
So, Tim Sobey, I hope you're not listening. I fell for the $6.99 a pound, and I went and bought two loins. I bought you a half a loin.
Right.
And I bought myself the whole loin. Well, yours, I could tell, had some nice marbling. Mine, not so much.
Well, and
so what we're going to do now is we're going to talk about how to make that a better steak, because I had took that whole loin and I cut it up into 1¼ and 3/4 inch steaks, because the missus likes them medium well,
right.
And I like them medium rare.
Right.
So if I have thicker and thinner, I can leave them on the same time. They'll be done about right.
Yep.
And I know hers will be, if hers was burnt, she'd probably like it.
Yeah.
So rather than fight her on it anymore,
right.
I just cook it the way she wants it.
Well, you're better off, yeah.
But mine, when I cut it into all those steaks, no marbling.
Right.
So be careful about the giant chains and their sail on a loin. If you don't have that cut in half, you can't see the center of it. You don't know what the marbling's on. And I'm here to tell you, that was a select loin I got, not a choice. And Family Fair did not do me a good service.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing is there was a baseball-sized chunk of fat on the end of about three of those six steaks that
right.
I couldn't eat. I mean, it was
right.
big,
right.
white, just white tallow fat
right.
that
right.
I cut right off, and yeah. those steaks got half the size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the supermarket when you get Jimmy Dean or Bob Evans on sale in the end case, and they go, two tubes for $6.
Right.
Well, guess what? They made those batches different than they make your typical batch, because when you go to cook those up, you'll look at the mix and it's pink. It's not red.
Right.
It's like half fat. So don't be careful how you waste your money. You know,
right.
a sale might not be a sale.
Well, the moral of the story is go to a quality butcher and you're going to
yeah.
get a quality product.
Yeah, case in point.
Right.
I went to Sobey a couple days ago. I bought breakfast links and cooked them up. I had to use oil in the pan. So there's just no fat.
Right.
And they're beautiful. They're big. They were the same size when I got done cooking them practically as when I put them
yeah,
in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were so good. But now, let's talk about another deal on steak. So, oh, no. Before I do that, I want to turn my boring steaks into a good steak.
How are you going to do
so
it?
So I cryovac them. I froze them up. Pulled them out about a week ago. Did a couple on the grill. Terrible. I was so disappointed.
I'm not a big fan of vac-sealed meat that's been frozen, especially beef.
It can be really good.
Chicken is good. I'm okay with pork, but beef.
You know what? I buy a quarter of a cow twice a year.
Right.
And because of the guy I get them from, they're fantastic out of the freezer. So I would say I used to maybe have that opinion, but these cows I've been buying have changed my mind. And I think the marbling has an awful lot to do with it. But so what I'm going to do... probably tonight, I've got a couple of them thawed again, and I'm going to get my meat hammer out,
okay.
And I'm going to pound the ever-loving you
That's
know
your
what
nickname,
out of them.
Isn't it?
Yep, I'm going to pound the heck out of them, and then I'm going to marinate them in some garlic EVO from Old World, and maybe some spices, and I'm going to let them sit in the refrigerator for a couple hours, and then on the counter for a couple hours. And I'm going to try it that way because there's no marbling in them. They're just too lean. I'm going to see if I can't do what I do to chops, pork
right.
chops, same deal, and see if that can't rescue a select cut of meat.
You're not going to use you're going to use a hammer rather than the
Jacquard?
Jacquard.
I have a hammer in the kitchen. I don't have a Jacquard in the kitchen. That's in my barbecue stuff. And
okay.
I need another Jacquard, so next time I
All
need
right,
a
All right, here we go. Jonesing for the holidays already. We just got over that.
Yeah. Hey, let's have them on the show. They'll send us a couple.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Coming up next, we don't want to skirt the truth, but we might. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grillin' Guys. Build or redecorate with composite decking by TimberTech. Now through July 31st, you can save an extra 5% when you purchase both your composite decking and premium deck railing from Standard Lumber. TimberTech decking starts at $1.75 per lineal foot and is available in many styles and finishes. Visit your local Standard Lumber location for details and enjoy the outdoors on your new redecorated deck. Check them out at standardlumber.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. I never get tired of that rap, man. You cut that thing years ago, but you know what? It's just kind of like comfortable for me.
That's funny, when I hear that,
I know we're here.
That's funny because I'm kind of sick of it.
All right, well, get going on a new one then, because I'm not the singer in this group.
I don't know if I can hit that one again.
Right, yeah.
That was just a... Yeah. Anyway,
right. So we've been talking steak, right? We've been talking steak all day. We're going to keep talking steak, but go ahead, Bob.
The Full Belly Deli.
Right.
Skirt the truth, Choppy. Skirt the truth.
Right.
Skirt steak, man. It's fortunately now it's appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up, you didn't know anybody that did skirt steak. Now, we had a bunch of Mexicans come into town to pick strawberries all the time, and they knew what it was, but you know they weren't inviting us over to eat, so we never saw it.
Right.
Besides, we never got steak anyway.
Right.
Truth is, they probably didn't either.
So, well, it has a lot of uses in Mexican cooking.
It was a junk piece of meat forever, right. Like brisket.
So where's it at? Where do we get it from?
Down around the belly.
Right, and it's the skirt below the ribs,
yep.
Right, and between the ribs and the hide, basically, yeah, almost like the bacon of a beef.
When you field dress your deer, you're generally seeing that, and very often probably cutting it off,
right,
with the hide,
right.
But you could save it.
So talking about the skirt steak, then, what do you feel the flavor is of that?
Well, I'm huge on Mexican cooking, right?
Right. Spices.
So
yep.
I love all things Mexico when it comes to spices, styles, cooking, not so much cartels.
Right.
But I talk about it all the time, and you always kind of look puzzled, but there's a blend that's in the market called tajin, T-A-J-I-N, and it brings me to my happy spot on spices.
Right.
It's all in one. I don't have to invent it. Somebody already did. I can buy it cheap. The big bottle is like $9, and you can get it at your favorite butcher shop or supermarket. If they know what they're doing, they'll have it. Go to a Mexican market like Supermercado or something like that if you can't find it at your store. But let's face it. Mexican influence in our foods is very, very strong and growing. So all the grocers have had to step up their game, and you see more and more of the international stuff in certain stores.
Sure.
And so I'm going to probably – my daughter Emily got me into marinating in orange juice and a blend of, like, parsley, but I go with
the orange juice is acidic.
It's a bit acidic.
It's got citric acid in it, right, from the citrus and the orange. but it also imparts a great flavor. So it's going to act as a tenderizer.
It's sweet.
And it's going to act and put a flavor profile on that.
Uh-huh.
And usually sweet and beef don't necessarily go together, but the orange in there, I feel, really complements and highlights the flavor of that skirt steak.
You don't put sugar on your brisket when you do it?
I don't do sugar on brisket generally. Mm-hmm. But
what do you put on your – how do you season your brisket? What do you use, Billy Bones?
Yeah.
It's got sugar.
Yeah. Well, so, not a lot.
Sugar.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, but I don't put sugar on.
I'm just calling you out on your sweetened beef.
There again, you're buying seasonings that someone else has perfected rather than me trying to create my own.
So I just simply wanted to point out that the sweet on beef is actually really, really good. And orange juice, I think when we did Olivia's graduation party, Emily marinated a bunch of butts and I smoked them. And she, we have the recipe on thegrillingguys.com. And it's, I can't think of the, I want to say Churrasco, but it's not. I'll think of it later after the show's over.
But miracle of editing.
You can look it up, just say, what the heck was he talking about? It'll pop up.
Right, yeah.
But it's basically parsley, garlic, orange juice. It's real simple. And maybe a touch of cumin and some sea salt and
so this is
some sort of a pepper, and it's a marinade. And so I'm going to do that with skirt steak, same recipe.
Okay. Leave it in there a couple hours?
Yeah, I would. I'd go like overnight.
Okay. And then you're going to pull it out, let that come to room temperature?
Always, always. Every steak. And here's the thing about bringing it up to room temp. There's a couple of reasons, and I'm sure you all know this. But one thing is you don't want to have to fight the temperature on the grill.
Right.
Number two, you want that meat to hit the grill and cook as evenly as possible. So if it's really, really cold, your outside's going to get done at a faster rate than it'll cook through the center. So you'll have to rest it more and give it a little heat while it's resting. No, bring it up to room temp. Now the meat is softer. I asked you if you brought your aged beef up to room temp because you said it was kind of hard. If you throw a steak on from the fridge, it's going to be kind of hard. You're going to have a tough time telling how well done that thing is or is not by touching it because it stays firm and it's not cooking in the middle fast enough. So you're charring the outside a little more than maybe you want.
Right. And your outside quarter inch to half inch is going to be well done to get your center at medium rare like we like it.
Yep.
And so I'd rather just have a little skin of char on the outside rather than that being that thick.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this skirt steak, then you get it grilled up and you're – are you going to grill that to what temperature?
Medium rare, always.
Always.
And it's real thin, so you probably can't even put your thermoprobe in it. You just got to kind of feel that one. Maybe cut a piece off for the chef.
Typically, those are cut on the bias.
Always.
Yep, right. Yep. And that just
double bias.
Right.
Double bias, because you're going to have a lot of strands, kind of like a brisket again. It's got that angular strand going on. So put your blade against it crosswise and then bevel it down at a 45. And when you slice very thinly those pieces out, it's going to lay down on the platter beautiful, and it's going to be just like the next thing I want to talk about, and that is côte de bœuf. I was watching a cooking show, and Puck?
Wolfgang
Puck was teaching this guy. It's a Netflix special, and I can't think of the name of it, but he's got this
Côte de Bœuf.
No, he's got this little food truck in the beginning of the thing, you know, and it's a marvelous show, and I think the guy's an actor. I've watched it so many
times. He's not a paid professional.
I've watched it
just
so many
acting
times.
Acting like a chef on TV.
I should know what his name is, John. Anyway, so Wolfgang Puck is teaching him how to do steaks properly, and this guy's actually been to culinary school. So he might be a half-assed chef. I don't know.
Right.
But it's a great show. And he does this, these giant cowboy steaks or giant rib steaks. And he's,
with the rib in it still.
Yes, with the rib in it.
And tomahawk sometimes.
It looks like
called
a tomahawk, but he left all the meat on the rib. So he didn't strip that down. So he's basically bringing that up for 3 hours on the counter, puts his seasoning and oil on right before he throws it on. He cooked his on a griddle. Right, giant kitchen griddle. I like, in a situation like that, I would do a lot of sea salt and a lot of cracked pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go heavy on it, and then I'm going to sear the heck out of it, and then I'm going to bring it over to a a cooler heat area to finish cooking. But then he gets done and he takes the steak off the bone and he turns it sideways, cuts the grizzle off the outside, and then he does that same bevel, cuts it on a bevel, lays it on a platter, and then he lays that big, beautiful bone at the top of the platter. It's a great, and then lays a whole twig of thyme on top of it, which he actually deep fried in butter for just a couple seconds, and then he whipped the steak with it when he was done.
It was
kind
cool.
Of brush your steak with
your
thyme. It was
very cool.
Huh?
Yeah, it was like sadistic, but
wow.
I got hungry.
Yeah.
So
oh, that sounds good.
That's called Côte de Bœuf.
Cool presentation.
Yes.
Well, coming up next, we got other kinds of steaks that might not be from a cow. You're going to want to stick with us and check this out. We'll be back.
I can go out every night of the week. Can't go home with anybody I meet. But it's just a temporary high. Cause when I close my eyes, I'm somewhere with you.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Don't keep, love's not cheap, trucks don't wreck themselves.
Welcome back. Mama, it's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. And we've been talking steak during this entire show. We pretty much focused on beef, but we're going to take a little diversion here and steak up a few other things. What are you thinking, Bob?
Well, I saw this surfing on Al Gore's internet. It looked pretty good. It was a steak, but it's a sweet potato steak.
Really?
Yeah, and
Never saw one of those before.
Trying to eat a little healthier the older I get while I still have teeth. I want to eat some things that don't make me quite as fat.
Yep.
And sweet potatoes are better for you than plain potatoes.
Right.
Okay? So get yourself, and I've got some. I'll be doing them tonight. So I have not cooked this recipe, but I'll tell you about it next week if I screw it up real bad, like I did the bacon. So you just cut that thing lengthwise so that you can get two nice steaks out of a big sweet potato.
So half inch wide,
three quarters
inch
probably
wide.
About 5/8, half inch, three quarters in there, somewhere right. Between a half and an inch, depending on the size of your potato and how long you want to grill it.
The curved edges off the outside long ways, and you're going to get a couple steaks out of it.
Yeah, and you're going to save those outside pieces because they're still good. What we're going to do is we're going to oil those up, and we're going to spice them up. Now, there's several recipes you can use. One has onion, brown sugar, Worcestershire sauce, vinegar, ketchup, garlic. Another one is just olive oil, chili powder, and salt. That's the one I tend to do. I don't want a bunch of crap on it. Another one calls for some special kind of honey that you glaze it with when you're done. Sweet potato is already sweet enough. I'm not going to add sugar to it.
Right.
So I tend to go with the chili powder and salt and pepper.
Okay.
Or just salt, really. The chili powder takes care of the pepper. And then I'm going to put a butter EVO, Old World's butter EVO on it. And I'm going to grill that on a low temperature for about as long as I'm going to grill those beat-up steaks I'm going to be doing, okay, which is going to be slow, and I'm going to take it kind of easy on them because I don't want those things to turn out like hockey pucks like last time.
So I would anticipate, if you haven't made these sweet potatoes, I got a couple thoughts on that. One is you want them cut consistently thick so that they get done at the same time,
because
the potato's pretty dense. But the second one is that I'm thinking that you're not going to want to flip these too many times.
No, once.
Right. I mean, you're going to do the one side, let her go what you think is half the time, and then flip it over and be done with it. It's kind of almost like a turkey burger. You can't handle it too many times or it's going to fall apart.
And you're going to want to soak those in ice water for a couple hours.
Before you cut them or after?
After you cut them.
Okay, and what's that do to them?
It gives them a little crispier finish.
Okay.
But if you don't want
them on the grill cold, or are you going to put
cold? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's not meat.
Right. Right. So you're going to put them on cold, and they're
a fake steak.
Great. They're going to crisp up on the outside a little bit with that oil and the seasoning on it.
And it's cool looking. Then you can, you know, you can put some, a little goat cheese and some walnuts or something like that if you want to.
Just veered off that healthy path.
Spruce it up. Well, goat cheese is good for it, and so walnuts are really good. The brain food. Yeah.
Brain food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Right. Yeah,
I learned it from a Korean.
All right, so we went with a vegetable steak, and now
that didn't work so well.
Let's work to the C.
Okay,
right
now we're going to get into some of my favorite stuff. Something I do cook and I do like. I'm not the biggest sweet potato fan. I'm not making these for me. Okay,
right.
My wife loves them. So tuna steaks. You said you weren't the biggest user of tuna. You don't eat it much.
Well, it's not that I dislike it. I just forget about it.
I didn't say
that. I don't cook it.
Yeah.
And I'm so I said I've got nothing to offer on this because
it's
I can't tell you
the chicken of the seed.
Right. Yeah. I've not. Yeah. It is. But I've not had experience, good or bad, with tuna steaks.
Well, there's lots of ways you can do it. For one thing, you can get a nice big, I don't know what they call it. It looks like a loin, but you get a big piece of it. Tuna is a really remarkable fish. There are several different types of meat. It's like a turtle. There's all sorts of different types of meat on a tuna. If you process your own, if you catch your own, hard to do in Lake Michigan. But we used to catch them out in the Pacific when I was in the service and fillet them up right on the boat and make, you know, some nice little sashimi right there and then bring the whole fish back. And my boss was a whiz at processing tuna. He's a Portuguese guy, and he just, man, Louis, he'd fillet those babies up, and he'd be cutting out all the different muscles, and he knew exactly what each piece was going to be used for because they all have their different flavor profiles and strengths in flavor.
This is where a good fishmonger would help a guy like
absolutely,
you and me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so a tuna steak is just that big side of the fish that they cut off upper part by the spine. It's just a big muscle that runs lengthwise of the fish. And then you're just going to cut that into chops. And you don't have to do them real thick if you're afraid of rare. But if you're used to eating it raw, you know, a little flash on it will be all you'll need.
Okay.
And I'm not going to get real fancy with anything, but I'm going to do maybe like a balsamic reduction to go with it or maybe some teri and wasabi, depending on who's eating it.
Right.
I like a reduced teriyaki with wasabi and some shaved ginger.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've at home, I've got a wasabi mustard.
Did you ever shave ginger?
What? Only once. She did not like me after I got done with that. But we got a wasabi mustard at home that I thought might be good just to dip a little bit of that in, I'm thinking. It's got a little bit of bite to it.
I bet it would, wasabi and mustard.
Yeah.
You should put some jalapeno in there.
It's green. I mean, it's green mustard, but, it's commercially made. It's something that we bought, but... Mm-hmm. That was what we were.
It's not something you whipped up in a drunken stupor?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. While I was shaving ginger, right? But anyway, that'd be good on tuna, I think. What about shark steaks?
It's not shark week, but it could be shark steak week.
Right.
You can buy these online. If you don't have a resource near you, and I bet you do almost no matter where you live, you can find shark steak. It's a fantastic overlooked meat. It's cheap. You can buy them online for $10 a pound, and they'll ship them right to your door on
frozen, obviously.
Shaved ice. No, on dry ice. So we're going to shave everything today. shave your shark. So a shark steak is going to be just like a tuna steak in terms of how you prep it. You're going to put some EVO on it and a little salt and pepper. It's so simple, it's ridiculous. I'm thinking it's just...
Now, is that as more dense meat than the tuna, or is it about the same?
Well, it depends.
Again, I don't cook a lot of
shark. Depends on the type of shark it is. There's all sorts of them. And I'm going to say that the ones we used to eat, I'm thinking they were sand sharks, but I couldn't. There's so many sharks, I just can't remember. Some of it's going to be kind of white and will look like a scallop. As a matter of fact, a lot of people will actually, they take these little cutters and they cut out little circles and they sell you shark meat instead of scallops. Yeah, that's a ripoff. But it's so good nobody ever notices unless you're a real man.
Yeah, and then it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man!
When a man is borrowing a buddy's tool or other equipment, if the borrower puts any scratches or brings it back with noticeable wear, then he's required to do one of the following. If the item costs under $50, you're required to replace it. If the item costs over $50, you're required to give him a case of beer because, hey, who wants to spend more than $50 on something that isn't yours?
Yeah, you know what though, but that's just bro code right there, man. I mean, you cringe when you loan something out to one of your buddies if you know he's the guy that'll bring it back and it'll still be dirty. And
how about if it's a Bernie bro?
Right. Yeah.
What's the bro code for those guys?
Yeah, right.
They borrow it and don't bring it back.
Right.
It's mine.
Right. Yeah.
What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine.
Yeah. Exactly. But you know what? We do that. I just brought you a case of beer because I probably brought something back to you that wasn't.
No. I like that law because you've never had to actually pay me for anything. You brought my my little Argentinian grill set back cleaner than what I gave it to you.
Right.
Because it was covered in sawdust when you picked it off my top loft of the barn.
Right. Yep, I did. And,
and it came back clean.
Yeah, the Epicoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that there, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's a great segue to the next segment is that's a rotisserie.
Ain't it, though?
And we're going to talk about a little bit of using your rotisserie for a type of loin. So you listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
In the back seat, nowhere to go. Nowhere to be, I got my shades on top back, rolling with the music jack, one on the wheel, one around you, baby. Sunset, I bet there's a chance we could get shorn up, tangled up, lay back and lazy. Pour it on easy now, don't.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
We'll turn that bottle up and drink it, crank that jukebox up and hank it, bartend, for another round. Here's to our best bad decision situation.
For another round, that sounds like a good thing to do when you're grilling.
Yeah, we didn't get beer of the week.
We did not.
What the heck?
And you know what? I grilling is a one-handed sport with me. Was down in Illinois last weekend and got a Yingling. That's something we can't get here in Michigan. It's a lager beer. It's a lager beer. It's okay. It's not great, but it's
I think
one of
it's
those,
great.
It's
I
one
love
of those
it.
Things, right?
It's the oldest brewery in America.
Right. So I bought Bob a case, grabbed a case for me, and came back. And I can't lie. I've had a few of them.
Have you?
But they're tasting good.
Yes.
But anyway.
They're the best deal in beer in America.
Right.
They're $19.99 a case.
Yep.
You know, speaking of beers, before we get on to the rotisserie thing, because this time of year you should use your rotisserie so you don't have to stand outside freezing like I've been doing. You just put it on and set it, forget it. But I had a beer. I went down to Siciliano's a couple days ago, and she set me up with...
Set you up, that being the key, because I never saw any of this beer.
Well, I bought a bunch of beer there, and she recommends... I just say, what's good? And she basically sets it on the counter, and...
You just get your credit card out.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, and with some cigars. And Steve was in there. He says hi. But it's from Rolling Rock, and it's called Rolling Bock.
Oh.
Dude, this stuff is 89 cents a can. So I was, like, worried about it. I'm like, wasting money.
A little bit of laxative in a
bottle. I don't know what I'm getting into. I'm going back for more. Siciliano's Market, they're on M45 and West Side of Grand Rapids. It's called Rolling Bock. Everybody's had Rolling Rock. You've been to a frat party or a field party, a party in the gravel pits, wherever you do it, and somebody pulled out Rolling Rock. And it's not a bad beer either, but this is Rolling Bock. I'm going to tell you, 89 cents a can, I think it just beat out Yingling for the best beer in America for that kind of price.
So speaking of rolling your Bock, how about rolling some beef on a rotisserie?
That's about rolling your Segways.
Right. I enjoy cooking with a rotisserie. I think there's a little bit of technique to it, and maybe we should talk about that. You can put a lot of different meats on a rotisserie.
I've heard rumors that we own a big grill that has a rotisserie. I just don't know that I've ever seen
Dude,
it.
Dude, I'm waiting for you to lose another 10 pounds, and I'm going to stick you on that thing and cook you. But, no, we do. We have a big 4-foot one.
Why, it'll only hold 220?
Yeah, right, yeah. And it's got a 7/8 stainless steel octagon rod, and it'll hold some meat, baby. But anyway, rotisserie is a great way to do it. It's slow cooking with kind of self-basting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're gonna run a rod
it's
down.
It's not only self-basting, but you can baste it while you're cooking.
Right.
You can go out once in a while to act like you're grilling.
Right. Yeah. Set your beer down.
That's right.
Right, yeah. But
a little Rolling Bock.
Right.
On.
But anyway, my tips on this is if you've got a rotisserie, I use charcoal grill. For our rotisserie, and I build the fire offset because you're going to get drippings. You can do one of two things. You can catch those drippings and use them for gravy or sauces, or you can let them hit the coals. Let them hit the coals. You want a little bit of fire underneath so you don't get this greasy mess in the bottom of your grill. It'll burn off. But when it does that, you're going to get flare-ups, and you can oftentimes get charring on the outside of the piece of meat that you're doing. You build the fire offset, just put a little pan under there to catch the drippings. You can throw them away or use them, whatever. But all you're looking at is for radiant heat on a rotisserie.
This time of year, it's a great time to do it. Hey, listen, support your local brewers. We love going down to Schmoe's, which is actually one of our sponsors, and they have a huge line of locally made beers. Schmoe's, it's by the Ice Arena on Patterson.
Yep.
So if you got a hockey player in your life, go drop them off.
Right. Hit Schmoe's when you're at the Patterson. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Thanks for listening to The Grilling Guys. Get out there and make some smoke and a little bit of grill envy in your neighborhood, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.